Amen. To see our middle school lead us in worship this morning, I appreciate those that give leadership, Matt, each and every one of you that lead and serve in our ministry area for our middle schools. I appreciate it so much, and I know parents do as well. I'm going to invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 32 this morning. Psalm 32, as we continue this series of messages, it's leading up to the Thanksgiving holiday. As I was been preparing and studying, recognizing that Thanksgiving is one of those holidays that is quickly losing its place in our culture and certainly within our faith. It's amazing how things are commercialized in such a way that ever how much you can make on that particular calendar event, then that's how much emphasis it'll get. And apparently Thanksgiving falls in there in an area where we can't or culture can't make as much money, and so it has a tendency just to be glossed over. And I don't know if you recognize it or not, but we're already into Christmas. But the thing that I want to emphasize, you know, in these series of messages is to recognize we have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot to give thanks and praise for. And that begins with this reality that we have the opportunity to repent, that God in His mercy and grace has given avenue through which we can be restored in a right relationship with Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we saw last week in Psalm 51 this topic of repentance, understanding that repentance is a change of mind. It's not just a change in our thinking, but it's a thought process that changes the core of our existence, and our heart and our desire totally changes. And so we go from having a secular or a worldly standard to having a godly standard, that our standards of living have changed because we have repented from the world standards, and now we're attempting to live in harmony with the holy and righteous God. And in realizing that when I do, even as a child of God, when I do succumb to temptation and I sin, there is that opportunity and there is that need of repentance in my life. And David voiced that prayer last week, a prayer of repentance. And in that prayer, he voiced this in Psalm 51, verses 12 and 13. I'll be in Psalm 32 with you in just a moment, but listen. Restore the joy of your salvation to me, and sustain me by giving me a willing spirit. David was recognizing the fact that while he was in an unrepentant state, and we're going to see more description of that in just a moment, but when he was living in that unrepentant state, there was an absence of the joy of Christ. You've probably heard me say through the years, and I can give testimony on my own life, that when sin is in the life of a believer, that person's usually not fun to be around. While you may not understand why there is impatience or whatever the attribute would be that would describe someone that is not full of joy, it is because so oftentimes that as Christians, rather than repenting of our sin, we try to explain it or justify it, even as David attempted to do so. But the reality of it is that when we live in that state as an unrepentant follower of Jesus Christ, God's joy is missing. But once there is adequate and biblical repentance, David pens for us in Psalm 32, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Let me just pause for just a moment. David in Psalm 51 said, after being restored, I will teach the rebellious your ways and sinners will return to you. David said, look, this idea of being forgiven, it's such a work that God has done in my heart that in turn I want to teach others. I want to teach others the value and the importance of repentance and the joy that comes by knowing that I'm forgiven. And I want you to know that Psalm 32 is a part of that that promise or that commitment. Then, after being restored. So I want you to know this morning, if you have been restored in a right relationship with Jesus Christ, then you, with that, are to teach others. I am to teach others. And what a blessed position to be in. And so he says, I will teach others. Psalm 32 is the beginning of that process of teaching. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old. Through my groaning all the day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and I acknowledge I have not, my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave me the iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found, surely in a flood of great waters. They shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall follow him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all who are upright in heart. And what David is sharing, he is now, after dealing properly with his sin and after being forgiven, he says, now I want to teach. I want to share. And folks, I want you to realize this morning that repentance leads to forgiveness and forgiveness leads to thanksgiving. And so if the Lord tarries and we have the opportunity next week to look at Psalm 100 and then looking beyond that, many times when we think of our Thanksgiving celebration, it revolves around things such as, I am thankful for a roof over my head. I am thankful for family. I am thankful for good health. And none of that is wrong. But ultimately, as a follower of Jesus Christ, I need to be thankful for the cross. I need to be thankful for the privilege and the opportunity I have to come before a holy God and seek His mercy and grace. And not only seek it, but be a recipient of it. And the recipient of the mercy and grace of God means I am forgiven. And if that does not make us thankful, I don't know what should or what will make us thankful. With that this morning, I want us to look, first of all, at the blessing of forgiveness. As we talk about forgiveness, David begins by talking about the blessing of forgiveness. He says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Let me tell you something. You are hearing the heart of a man who has been forgiven. For nearly a year, he had hidden his sin. He had covered his sin. And now he had dealt properly with it as we looked at last week. And now he is saying, look, understand the blessing of knowing you've been forgiven. The joy associated with knowing that we are forgiven by a holy and righteous God. Now, in the Old Testament, hear this. In the Old Testament, that's what is known as oracles. Oracles are pronouncements, okay? And there are two. There is a pronouncement of prosperity. There's an announcement of blessing. And then there is an announcement or an oracle of woe or doom. And so a lot of times when you read the scriptures, you'll see the word blessed or you'll see the word woe. I think last week I shared with you, if you look in Isaiah 6, Isaiah, when he saw the holiness and the righteousness of God, what did he say? Woe is me. It was an oracle of doom on his life. And folks, I want you to know that every one of us are in that place of woe until we repent. and deal adequately and honestly and openly with our rebellion, our sin with God. And then he brings forgiveness. And I want you to know that oracle goes from woe to blessed. To blessed. And David is using that pronouncement of prosperity. And I ask you a question this morning as you think about your own personal life, as you think about your family, as you think about the workplace, and we collectively as a body of believers, as we think about the work that God has called us to, we want to be in a place where God can bless us. Amen? And the way we get to that place of blessing is when we have been forgiven. And forgiveness is directly related to my willingness to change my thinking about standards from that of the world to that of God's and turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting, this word bless, this oracle, this pronouncement, in Psalm 1, listen to this, in Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And so the psalm writer begins in Psalm 1 with this same declaration, blessed. But I want you to look at who it is. It's the person who is in God's word, who is walking with God and not with the world. He says, blessed is a man who does not walk with the ungodly. And so in other words, his idea, his philosophy, his standards are God's standards. He delights in God's law. One commentator I was reading said, this is the untarnished life. I don't know that I like that expression because guess what? We're all tarnished. But realize that there are times in your life, in my life as a follower of Jesus Christ, where I am walking closer to Him. You see what I'm saying? I'm delighting in His Word. I'm spending time in my own personal life. I'm spending time with my family in devotion and prayer. I'm spending time in corporate worship on a consistent and regular basis without interruption from the world standards. That there's that time I'm walking with the Lord. He says, blessed. But what if I mess up? What if I fall outside of that sphere of blessing? Do I have to live with that the rest of my life? And the answer is no. You see, there's joy in being forgiven. And here's what I want you to listen. Here's what I want you to see. The same blessing for the person who's walking with the Lord is the same blessing for the one who's forgiven. Isn't that amazing? There's no second-rate blessing in God's kingdom, folks. It's His blessing on us. And even when I have openly rebelled and selfishly hidden my sin and gone about living according to the standards of the world, when I come to a place of brokenness and repentance and I call out in God's mercy and grace and He forgives me, folks, the very same blessing that comes upon the life of the individual who's walking with the Lord comes upon the person who is repented and forgiven. And that's all of us. Same pronouncement of blessing in these two areas. David, after covering up his sin for nearly a year, when confronted by Nathan, repented and received the merciful forgiveness of the Lord. And he begins this psalm with a shout of joy. The blessing of knowing I've been forgiven. Now, the word forgiven means to move a burden. Now, I want you to think about this idea. What does the Bible teach us about forgiveness? I am to forgive in the same way that I have been forgiven. And how has the Lord forgiven us? The word forgive means to move or remove a burden. We're going to see in just a moment, David's going to talk about when he was silent about his sin, the impact it had upon his life. It burdened him so. the imagery of this idea of removing a burden, being forgiven, is illustrated at the Day of Atonement in the Old Testament. At the Day of Atonement, they would bring in a ceremony of confession and repentance, they would bring a goat into that ceremony, and the sins of the people symbolically would be placed upon that goat, and then that goat would be released to go out into the wilderness, never to return. Have you ever heard of a scapegoat? Have you ever felt like a scapegoat? Jesus Christ was our scapegoat. My sin was placed on Him. Your sin was placed on Him. And symbolically, that practice was to illustrate the joy of forgiveness and knowing that my sins, the burden of my sins, have been taken from me and they've been removed. They're gone. The psalm writer says it this way in Psalm 103, verses 11 through 13. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. And that's what I want you to see. The psalm writer is saying that as God shows His love for us, as we are forgiven, He illustrates it by showing that our sins have been removed. He says He removes forgiveness, removing a burden. He removes our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. Why did He say east and west? Why didn't He say north and south? You go north, you'll eventually come to the North Pole. You continue, you'll be going south. You continue on that journey, you'll finally come to the South Pole. They meet. They come together. There's not an East Pole and a West Pole. Right? They never meet. If you leave here today and you start on a life's journey going east, you'll always go east. At no point will you ever come to a place where they meet and now you're going west. You'll always be going east. You'll always be going west. And what the psalm writer is saying is that our sins are removed, never to come back to haunt us again. Now, here's a part of forgiveness. This is the way God forgives. How do we forgive? Sounds like this: I'll forgive, but I won't forget. Well, that's not removing a burden, is it? That's keeping that burden there just in case I need it. I am so glad that my God has removed the burden of sin. And with that, David says, the joy of forgiveness is knowing that I have been blessed. A second thing that I want you to see is the consequences of the unrepentant. Now, David said, I'm going to teach. Lord, as a result of what You've done in my life and the joy of knowing that I have been restored in a right relationship with You. Folks, when we're in that right relationship with God, it is for the purpose of us being able to model and teach and share in the context of our home, with our spouse, with our children, with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. But David speaks of his life when he was unrepentant. In verse 3 says, when I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night Your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin to You. My iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and You forgave the iniquity of my sin. And so verses 3 and 4, he's talking about the consequences of being unrepentant. Listen to this statement. God does not permit His children to sin successfully. He's not going to allow me, if I'm His child, just to continue on a road of rebellion and sin. There will be chastening. there'll be correction. David said that when I was silent about my sin, he describes his physical condition, my bones grew old. And then he talks about his spiritual condition when he says, my vitality was turned into the drought of summer. Basically, what David is describing is the chastening of the Lord. God does not permit his children to sin successfully. But what you see in verses 3 and 4 is the Lord chastening David for nearly a year. And he describes what it's like to try and hide his sin rather than confess his sin. Now, understand the difference between chastening and punishment. God was not punishing David. He was chastening or disciplining David. Chastening isn't a judge punishing a criminal. It's a father dealing with his disobedient children to bring them willingly to a place of surrender. Now, I'll be the first to admit, when I was a child growing up, my dad would say, this is going to hurt me worse than it's going to hurt you. I never believed him. But what he was saying is, I love you. He didn't use these words, but I can look back and understand it now as an adult. I'm not punishing you. I'm chastening you. I'm disciplining you. Because the behavior that you're modeling right now is going to hurt worse if I leave it uncorrected. The way that you're living and acting now is going to be detrimental to you in the future. So because I love you, I'm going to chasten it. I'm going to correct you. It's not punishment. And folks, we need to see this morning that when we are convicted by God's Spirit and by God's Word, it's not punishment. It's because He loves us. And here's what He wants. He wants you to be blessed. He didn't want you to have to deal with woe. And I don't know about you, but I want to be in that place where I can be blessed. And so David talks about the consequences of unrepentance, being a physical wreck, dried up and having no spiritual or physical energy. And then in verse 5, he transitions and he talks about the wonderful pardon when sin is confessed. I acknowledge my sin to you and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. And then the last thing I want us to see is the counsel of the one forgiven. David is now going to take and give us counsel. He's going to teach us about the joy of being forgiven and what advice he would give to those who need forgiveness. For this cause, verse 6, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with a bit or a bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous. Shout for joy, all you upright in heart. The counsel of the one forgiven. Understanding the joy of forgiveness. First of all, in verse 6, understand the power of prayer. He says, for this cause everyone who is godly shall pray. And so we need to understand as Christians, as we are forgiven, part of the way we remain in that position of blessing is through prayer, through conversation, through engaging in our relationship with a personal and intimate God. Understand the power of prayer. And the next is understand the power of position. I pray to you. I'm not praying to a God. I'm praying to the God. I pray to you. And then he talks about the understanding of the freedom and the peace. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. Do you see the change that has taken place? The joy that David knows that he has been forgiven. He is talking about the opportunity to come and into the direct access of God, the direct presence of God in prayer, and the peace that's associated with that. And it results in the latter part of verse 7 in praise. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. I know I'm forgiven. And the Lord has surrounded me with peace and praise of knowing that I am His and that I have been restored. And then he says in verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. The Lord being the one who instructs and guides us. And then look at verse 9. Do not be like the horse or like the mule or like Baptists. I was just seeing if y'all were with me, all right? Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Don't be stubborn. Don't be resistant to the things that God wants to do in your life. Dad, don't be resistant. Mom, don't be resistant. Single, student, all of us, don't be resistant. Because when we resist, we place ourselves in an oracle of woe. But when we're responsive and obedient, we place ourselves in a place of blessing. I can remember in my early teens, I guess, a brother-in-law that I hung out with a lot, and his dad had a farm. And so they kept horses. My dad wouldn't keep horses because they killed the grass. I don't know whether that's true or not. May have just been a reason why he wouldn't get us a horse. I thought, Dad, the cows are out there eating the grass. Well, they pick the grass. Horse pull it up by the roots. They kill the pack. Okay. All right. So I would go with my brother-in-law down to his dad's place, and we would ride. If he ever had a horse, a yearling that needed to be broke, you know, who got the volunteer for that? They would lay me across. They'd just lay across them and see how they'll act. And then eventually you get, you know, I think I had, you know, dumb written across there. So. You put the bit in there and they would resist that. I remember that I had a pony. His name was Red. And so occasionally, and Red was broke, you know, so you could ride him bareback. One day I was riding Red and I lost the reins. That meant Red could go anywhere he wanted to. So Red wanted to go to the barn. And to go to the barn, he crossed ditches. He went through thickets. He ran through trees with low limbs. And so I became as much a part of Red as I could come. You know where we wound up? In the barn, in the stall with a trough. He wanted to eat. He was selfish. And without that bit and bridle, that's where he would wind up every time. And David's saying, don't be that way. Don't be selfish. You know, the outcome of sin is selfishness. I don't think about how it's going to affect you or anybody else. I just want that temporary satisfaction that's associated with it. Whoa. And he says, don't be resistant. Don't be stubborn. But be willing to be taught of God's Word. I will instruct you. I will teach you. And then he closes in verses 10 and 11. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord. Look at this. mercy shall surround him. God's mercy, folks. That's part of the blessing of being forgiven, is that the mercy and the grace of God surrounds us. It matters not whether I turn to the left, to the right, forward, backward, down, or up. Wherever I go, I am surrounded by the mercy of God. That is the place of blessing. He says, verse 11, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all who are upright in heart. David starts out this psalm of instruction and teaching about the importance of repentance and the joy of forgiveness. Blessed are those whose sins are forgiven. And he closes by saying, shout for joy. That ought to be the witness and the testimony of every follower of Jesus Christ. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Repentance properly done, biblically done, results in forgiveness, folks. That ought to always lead to thanksgiving. Let's pray together. So as we wrap things up this morning, where are you? Are you at that place where God has instructed you and he's saying, don't be stubborn. Deal properly with those things in your life that are offensive to me. God is speaking. Are you at a place today where you need repentance? You need to repent. And let me say this, if you're here today and you have never entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ, it begins by your agreeing with him of your need to be forgiven. And that requires repentance. Confession and repentance. And so right where you're sitting, you can have that conversation with the Lord. Lord, I know I need a change in my thinking. I know I need a new heart. Remember last week he says, creating me a new heart. And that begins by simply just agreeing with God of who Jesus Christ is and your need of forgiveness in your life. And that testimony is the beginning of that relationship because of the forgiveness that comes through Jesus Christ. So some of you may be there. It's okay to be there. It's not okay to stay there. And the way you address that need of moving forward is by agreeing with God in prayer. I need Christ, and I'm turning away from selfish living and sin. Many of you have already made that declaration. But just like David, somebody that's a man after God's own heart, succumbed to temptation and sin, and maybe you find yourself in a place where it has stolen your joy. Then if you'll repent, the very same blessing that's associated with one that's walking uprightly is associated with the one who's forgiven. You can have that very same blessing, that very same joy restored to you today as his child. And I know that there's some of you here today and you are in thanksgiving. You've been forgiven, you've been restored, and you're walking with the Lord and you just want to give the Lord praise and thanksgiving. Where are you in that spectrum? Let me be silent for just a moment. And as God has spoken to you, now is your time to respond back to him. Father, we thank you today for the blessing of being forgiven. Father, for the removal of the burden, the guilt that's associated with my rebellion and sin, and to know that Jesus Christ became the scapegoat, became the one who was the object of my sin and my judgment and took that and removed that forevermore. Far as the east is from the west. And so with that, we give you thanks and we give you praise. And it's in Christ's name. Amen.